Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. According to a disturbing report, Facebook may be trying to manipulate which news stories bubble to the top of its trending list. If true, and Facebook denies it, it's hugely significant because, get this, around the world, more than 1.5 billion people log on to Facebook every month. And according to the Pew Research Center, here in the U.S., about 6 in 10 millennials and half of all Gen Xers get their political news on the social networking site. So if Facebook wants to skew news content and influence the way people think about and understand the world, well, it's a huge audience to manipulate. Tech columnist Hiawatha Bray has been writing about this for the Boston Globe, and he joins us now. Good to have you, Hiawatha.
Good to be here.
So this report comes from the tech website Gizmodo. Can you explain to us what sort of the gist of what was in this report about Facebook?
Well, Gizmodo talked to a bunch of people who worked at Facebook on their trending topics section, which tries to keep track of what we have been told are the news stories that most people are talking about out there on Facebook. And it's supposed to be this place where it was modeled after the Twitter trending topics. And the idea is that computer algorithms are supposed to decide what appears on that list. But these guys were claiming not only that there were some humans doing some editing in the background, but that they were actually manipulating some of the stuff we saw, that certain news sites that were more conservative were basically downgraded so that you didn't see stories from them, or that certain news stories that were not trending on Facebook were put on the trending list anyhow.
I see.
Facebook has flatly denied that this is going on. Personally, my own opinion, I think Facebook is probably telling the truth and that this might have happened with individuals acting on their own account. But that's just my personal opinion. I don't know. Very important. This just broke. The Guardian, the British newspaper, just published leaked documents, apparently from Facebook. We have to verify this, explaining how editors are supposed to edit Facebook stories. And frankly, if these documents are correct, it seems to me like Facebook is probably not doing anything wrong, because there's nothing in there about fiddling around with the results to conceal conservative information. There's no sign of that in there. So we've really got to worry about whether or not the story is true. But the larger issue is this. If Facebook wanted to do it, they could. Mm. And there are people at Facebook who have openly talked about doing stuff like this.
But Hiawatha, let me ask you.
The real issue.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, all I was going to say is that the real issue is when we have this much of the world relying on one institution for a lot of its information, we really need to be very careful about asking ourselves, how much transparency is there? How much can we trust them? Even traditional media have this problem, but at least over the years, we've developed tools for it, like ombudsman, letters to the editor. Above all, we have bylines. You know who wrote a particular story, and you can track them down. That gives them some measure of accountability.
Right,
Facebook's big problem to me isn't that they're necessarily biased, but that they're not accountable.
Well, see, say more about that, because, you know, I was going to bring up this idea of traditional media. I mean, we at WBUR, NPR, we curate stories all the time. We make decisions about, well, this doesn't sort of merit coverage. We're not interested in that for a variety of reasons. We don't have resources to cover that story, whatever it is. You make the same kind of decisions at the Boston Globe. So why can't Facebook be trusted to make decisions like that?
Well, frankly, I think they have every right to. I want to be very clear on this. If Facebook wants to do this, they have a right to do it. We got a guy in the U.S. Senate right now, Senator Thune of South Dakota, who is proposing an investigation of Facebook. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Facebook, even if they're doing this, is doing nothing wrong. The issue is we should have some kind of a conversation, a mechanism where we, the users, have some idea of the criteria that they are using. And this leaked document that the Guardian released, actually, I think it's pretty benign. I just got through talking to a professor of journalism at Northeastern, and he said, you know what? They should just take this and publish it and show the world and say, here is how we do this, so you know you can trust us. And that's the kind of thing that Facebook really needs to be doing. On the other hand, we as readers need to be doing something too. We got to understand we shouldn't be getting all our information from Facebook. We got to be more careful. We can't just rely on any one institution for the news that we get.
Well, I agree with that. And I think the thing that really shocked me the most about this story were these huge numbers of millennials and Gen Xers that rely on Facebook for their news. To me,
absolutely,
that seems a source of concern. You agree
with
that?
It does, because I look at that trending list, and I'm looking at the trending list, if you ever look at it on Facebook, and a lot of that stuff I'm reading, who cares about this junk? Half the stuff on it is, like, idiotic. I can't believe people actually think we want to know about this. But the larger issue is exactly what you say. If you really come to be that dependent on Facebook to know what's going on in the world, you're really going to be blinding yourself to a lot of other information, and you just shouldn't do that. But that's not Facebook's fault. That's our fault. We're the ones who have to think about this. And I say this as a total Facebook addict. I practically live there, and I have to back off.
Okay. Hiawatha Bray, technology writer for the business section of the Boston Globe. You can find a link to his most recent piece on our carefully curated website, radioboston.org. Hiawatha, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Great to be here. Thanks a lot.
And finally, a quick update on the transgender public accommodations bill. As expected, the Senate just approved the measure with a vote of 33-4. The bill now heads to the Massachusetts House. For more on this story, stay tuned to All Things Considered coming up next. And that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.